here I come to save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems.
Home improvement problems, that is.
And for people who want common sense guidance on how to build green and live a more sustainable lifestyle. If you have a home improvement hang-up, help is on the way. You can send an email or call into the show. The Mighty House crew is now on the job. This is
Mighty House.
I'm Ron Calgill. The Mighty House team is back. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you go to MightyHouse.net, you can click on the Mighty House team page, and you'll find a lot of great companies there, like Devon Bank or DDS Design Services. There's AWM Roofing, all kinds of good stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You need an energy audit? This is a great time of year to start looking at the energy audit. Energy Audits of Chicagoland is right there. And they call them out. They'll do an energy audit, find out where your house is leaking, so that, way you can seal it up, insulate it, and make it a little bit tighter and start saving some money. So you, too, can give us a call, 773-763-9278. And with that,
yes.
Dang, Bob's been on hold for 20 minutes.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you.
Bob.
Hey, guys. I love your show, and I listen to CPT all the time. But I have a rather burning question that I would appreciate any advice you might have. I have a 90-year-old house, and I got a video inspection of the chimney last week, and it showed some rather severe cracks in the mortar, and was told that it's not safe to use the fireplace.
Okay.
So they recommended a stainless steel relining of the chimney. I've heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
But they also said a fan, I guess it would be installed somehow in conjunction with the lining, that an electrician would have to install separately. And my question is this, I've never heard of, you know, a fan like this before. Is this a common practice to have it together? Because it costs, sounds like it costs just as much as the actual stainless steel relining.
Yes.
I personally have never heard of adding a fan to a wood-burning fireplace.
Yeah. And I've done the connections for probably 10 or 15 of them and didn't like any of them.
I mean, if you build a fire, it's going to create heat, which creates a draft, which then causes the smoke to go up. I don't understand the need for a fan.
So now,
if anything, I'd spend the money and core a hole in the back of the fireplace and put glass doors on the fireplace so that I have combustion air drawn from directly outside.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess my understanding is the fan will be up toward the roof.
Yes, it goes on the top.
Oh.
Yeah, but why?
Okay, so right. Here, if your chimney's not tall enough, if it's not built correctly, it won't draw and draft properly. So how do you fix that? You put a fan on the top of it, or, you know, like when you first start a fire and the smoke just comes in the house because it's not drawing properly.
Mm-hmm.
So you turn on the fan, you light your fire, you get it all going, and then once the chimney's heated up and it's all drawing properly, then you turn the fan off. So
okay, back up. It's just one second.
Beep, beep,
so
beep.
Basically, the best thing to do, though, is if you put in gas log lighter,
mm-hmm.
you light the log lighter.
Mm-hmm.
That generates the heat, clean heat, especially with natural gas, not so much with propane.
Right.
But, you know, if you just use the log lighter to preheat the chimney, then put your wood on, then you won't need that fan either.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I just don't like the idea of putting a fan at the top.
No.
But, like
yeah,
you said, Ron,
crazy.
If you're smart enough to turn it off after 15 minutes, you know, if you're just trying to do it to help induce draft. But still, my bigger thing is, where's the makeup air coming from? So core a hole in the back of the fireplace and get some fresh air coming in so you're not sucking it out of the house.
Right, and put glass doors on it, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
the new code is sealed. You can't, you know what I mean, you can't build a fireplace without glass.
Right, but if he's got an old house, and if you can get a glass doors on it, that's good.
I do have glass doors
okay,
on
okay, good.
Yeah,
awesome.
I've had it for a while.
Yeah, so that's, you know, the fans, like I said, I've done the connections. I don't like them, but... if you have a need for that fan, then there's something wrong with your chimney. fix the chimney.
And if his house is old enough, I guarantee you the chimney's correct.
Yeah.
That was an old mason, and they actually knew what they were doing.
Right.
Yeah. It's working great. I only have, you know, maybe several fires a year. And I guess back in 1982, I'm looking at my house, and I'm a little embarrassed. A different contractor recommended a relining back then. I didn't have a video inspection, but I have a DVD and everything. I could definitely see, you know, the problems. So
you don't. Okay. It's so old that you don't even have the clay liners. It's just all brick, right?
Well, it's brick, but there's also like liners in there, but there's cracks in the liners that you could actually see the brick in some areas.
Oh, okay, yeah. See, it's done.
It definitely needs relining.
Yep.
I would definitely do the reline.
All right. Thank you so much.
Cool. All right. Good luck, Bob.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Hopefully it helps.
I love this song.
What are you doing, disco?
Fire. Oh. Fire.
B is on it.
It used to be a good song. Now all it does is make me think of Hell's Kitchen.
The way you walk and talk really sets me off.
Really? Just like that?
Just like that. Awesome.
Should we try Chris and Palatine?
Please.
Are you sure? Did you see the topic?
I can't see it on my screen.
Dead mice named Cheddar?
Yeah, dead mice named Cheddar. Hey, Chris, you're on Mighty House.
Yes, is this going to be the Robbie debut album time?
Yes, I think so.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Anyway, I was calling, last week you had a discussion, but of course you didn't have any telephone, so I couldn't call in, about, you know, food and freshness of food.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, with Shared Harvest out in Elgin.
Well, you know, there's a real simple solution to that, and which is what I just came back from, part of my Saturday morning routine, besides listening to you, of course, I drove down to the Palatine Farmers Market, which is about 3 miles from my house. It's not the biggest one, but you can't beat the location. And I came back with, you know, some sweet corn, fresh cantaloupe, a cucumber, a couple of onions, some fresh tomatoes. Cantaloupe, I think I mentioned that one.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question? Have you ever had, like, Mexican street corn? So you take fresh corn and grill it, and then you slather it with a mix of, like, cumin and peppers and
mayonnaise.
No.
My God, is it so good? It's amazing.
It might be good, but, you know, we'd like to be able to sleep then at night, you know, after I eat it.
Oh, no, trust me, it's good stuff. Like, in Mexico, you buy this stuff from street vendors like you buy hot dogs in Chicago.
Means his tummy would be upset.
No, but my point, the whole thing is that you can get really great, this is a great time of year to go to farmers markets.
Sure.
In my fruit guy that I went to, you know, I picked up blueberries, raspberries, some peaches. They also have the pears and apples are now starting to come in. So you can do very, very well, and there are farmers markets all over.
Oh, yeah.
But here's the thing with this farmers market, if they only do it on Saturdays, what are they, these people, are they on the traveling routine where you have these same vendors who can actually provide to the harvest place, to the co-op, and you can go there whenever you want. In other words, you don't have to buy on Saturdays only. You can go in daily and get it.
You know, we have farmers markets right near us that are at Mount Prospect and Buffalo Grove are on Sunday. Then, you know, Barrington is on Thursday. You know, Northbrook is on a Wednesday. And as a matter of fact, one of the farmers I go, you know, that I go to every week, my vegetable guy, you know, his farm goes to 15 different farmers markets during the week.
Wow.
You know, I mean, that's how they stay in business, of course.
Sure,
right.
You know, so they're not selling stuff for, you know, a penny a pound to the grocery stores that the big places do. So consequently, you get better quality. And, you know, the corn is non-GMO corn, et cetera. And, you know, it's just, you know, so the quality is there. Plus, you know, so you're getting your freshness. You want freshness? Corn was picked yesterday, you know, in the field. So, you know, you're not going to get a lot fresher between.
No.
The corn being picked yesterday and being eaten tonight, you know, when I put it in the boiling water.
Yep, and Laura's probably out there screaming at a radio right now, stop by Red's because you can just go back and pick whatever you want.
Right. Well, that's true, and I have stopped by Red's, on occasion because I know Red's does, you know, have a farmer's market. But still, it's nice to be able to go in there, use the, you know, to do this, you're getting multiple, you're serving multiple purposes. A, you're getting good fresh, wholesome food. Mm-hmm. B, you're supporting your local farmer.
Yep.
And last week we also had somebody that tweeted right after the show, I grow aquaponically in a greenhouse year-round. The greenhouse has geothermal heat with a fish tank in the ground to retain heat. So, I mean, there are that's local here that people are doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I know. Mike Novak has, the long lamented Mike Novak WCPT.
Yeah.
My Sunday mornings, are not quite the same.
But now all you do is go to TuneIn Radio, get the app on your phone or on your computer, and then you just go to MikeNovak.net. And you can listen to him right there.
Well, I've also listened to him on Green Diva.
They're not doing that either anymore. So,
oh, they're not?
No. So you've got to you just go to MikeNovak.net and you'll be able to listen to him.
You're not on Green Diva anymore either?
Nope.
What happened to Green Diva?
That was too much work, and they didn't have enough time, and they all both got real jobs so that they could pay the bills.
Hey, amazing what a job for money versus a job for fun is, right?
Exactly.
All right. Well, but as I said, so take advantage of your farmer's market. And by the way, Robbie, sometime if you want to just play hooky on a Saturday.
Yeah.
A field trip for you.
Okay.
Drive up to Madison, Wisconsin.
All right.
And the best farmer's market in the world is in Madison. It's the Dane County Farmer's Market. Julia Child, when I lived in Madison back in the 70s, used to go there every Saturday. Julia Child thought it was like the first or second best farmer's market in the country.
Really?
Are you familiar with the Madison at all?
No.
Okay, so have you ever been on the Capitol Square?
I mean, I've driven past there on the way to Wisconsin Dells.
Okay. The whole Capitol Square, it's a mile around. Each of the four corners is a quarter mile.
Oh, cool.
The inner square is just loaded. I mean, it's packed with vendors all around. I mean, there are, 500 vendors there.
Wow.
And, you could eat just... The only bad thing is there that you can't eat is they don't have any liquor or beer.
Oh, well.
That's it.
Yeah, you'd think Wisconsin, but the beer making, they'd have, their vendors there selling beer, but unfortunately they don't. But other than that, you could live very comfortably, and anything you want, food, meat, fresh meats, eggs, produce like you wouldn't believe. Bakery, you want to talk about bakery, God, you gain 10 pounds just walking around looking at the stuff. You don't have to eat it, just look at it.
Wow, excellent.
It's a fabulous farmer's market. Go to their website and take a look at it. You'll see pictures.
Well, cool, thank you very much.
And it's a great, it's a nice trip. And this is a perfect time of year to go up there because it's just, the leaves are starting to change. We're finally getting to the great weather, no humidity, low temperatures. Maybe the mosquitoes will die off one of these days and I can go back into the woods again.
Yeah, cool. All right, well, I appreciate the phone call there, Chris.
Thank you very much.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. All right, bye. And Jeff also posted up on Twitter, Robbie.
Yeah.
Come here and look at these gutter guards.
They're a wreck.
Are they? Yeah.
He took a picture of a house with gutter guards, and everything is just caked on top of them. So,
I know how much you like gutter guards.
Means the water runs over the top of the gutter guard the whole nine yards,
right,
and
so,
is doing damage.
So, but this is he's got a perfect example he posted up there on our Twitter page. See the gutters? They have a gutter guard in there. You can tell there's a screen in there, but all the needles and stuff are just caked over top of it.
Mm-mm.
So it's still not doing anything.
Mm-mm.
So water still can't get in. You still have to go on your roof. You still have to clean those off, get the stuff out of there. So gutter guards will help keep the downspouts from getting clogged up.
Right.
But you still need to go up and clean. Just because you have gutter guards doesn't mean you don't need to clean your gutters anymore. That's where I'm going.
You've been saying this for years.
Yeah.
For as long as I've known you,
yeah,
you've been talking about this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And some of those are really expensive. Take $3,500, $4,500. You can put that in the bank and then pay the landscapers, $100. You got a long, every year to come in and clean them. That $3,500 will last you a long time. Get your gutters cleaned. And then that way they're checked and cleaned every year. Hey, you hear that music, Rich?
Already?
I know. You know what that means.
That means
20 minutes till Clutter Clarity.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Stop it.
Holy smokes. Wow.
Flies by.
All right, we'll be back right after this. You're listening to
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
Well, the job was going smoothly, two more days and we'd be done. We came in right on budget, man, this job was so much fun. But I knew the fun was over when the client said, "Hey, son, my wife and I've been talking, there's some changes we need done. That sink's just what we asked for, but my wife thinks we need two. So cut another hole in the counter, boy, should be an easy thing to do. I know we asked for stainless, but we prefer that it be white. The oven's on the left now, could you put it on the right? Why can't you
make up your mind?
We did everything you said, you've got to
make up your mind.
I can't read what's in your head, but I'm running out of patience. I'm running out of time, and you're running out of money, cause you can't make up your mind.
Blue pastels, oyster shells, pink and Kelly green.
These just aren't the colors I saw in the magazine.
What's wrong? It took so long, seems like that to me.
Can't you do it in a week, like Ty does on TV?
We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And you, too, can give us a call at 773-763-9278.
Well, we think that it's too small, and that flush-mounted refrigerator, we'd like it on the other wall. Why can't you
make up your mind?
We did everything you said, you've got to
make up your mind.
I can't read what's in your head.
I'm running out of patience, and I'm running out of time,
and you're
running out of money, because you can't make up your mind.
We have a good time waiting on the floor. I think it would be cheaper if I bought it at the store.
Last call, final draw, time to say goodbye.
I wish you all the best of luck in the next time.
Just call Ty.
Ty, don't answer that phone.
Make up your mind.
Oh, Ty, don't pick up that phone.
Make up your mind.
You're going to need to send these people away for about a year.
Make up your mind.
I'm so glad this job is over.
Make up your mind.
I feel 25 years older.
Make up your mind.
There you go. All right. Hey, what's this Muckfest thing you're doing next week, Robbie? And have we successfully twisted Ian's arm to shoot the whole thing and videotape
it? Ian has not commented. We are looking for somebody to go out there.
I'm going to give him my GoPro, and then he can just follow you along.
That would be awesome. Somebody posted, and they said they don't want me to wear the GoPro because they don't want to see what I see. They want to see me doing it.
Correct.
I'm getting really nervous. Really, really nervous. But this is the dealio. My birthday is Monday.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you. Monday is Labor Day.
Yeah.
I like to tell people that my mom was in labor with me on Labor Day.
Okay.
Okay, so my birthday's Monday. It's Labor Day. When I was in labor, my mom has MS.
Mm-hmm.
My birthday is on the 5th. Okay. So I'm thinking if people could donate $5 for my birthday on the 5th, which is Labor Day, in which case my mom was in labor with me and my mom has MS. How's that for wrapping it all together?
Okay. There you go.
So if you want to email me, robbie@mightyhouse.net, or go on our Facebook page, you could see how to donate.
Or just go to mightyhouse.net, and it's right on the homepage, and you can click through there and make a donation to help Robbie. And we still got to try and figure out, we're going to get that video posted one way or another.
Yes,
we're gonna get you slocking through the mud.
I'm hearing now it's just horrible. That's what I've heard. I've heard it's just horrible. It's like an hour and a half of going through these horrible, horrible muddy obstacles.
So we'll just have Ian shoot this stuff with the GoPro, and we'll just get the highlights.
Yeah,
and we'll just edit down a highlight reel.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, people are like, "Who you got to help pull you over?" Stuff. I'm like, I need people to pull me over. And a girl who did it last year, she's like, yeah, you get to the top of these things.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, I couldn't figure out how to get down. So literally people were like holding my feet and putting them where they need to go, like down the like rope like laddery crawl things. Oh, I'm so scared. But if I chicken out, if I chicken out, all the money raised, it has nothing to do with me completing the course.
Oh, okay. So you can do it anyway.
I can still chicken out.
Oh, you just got to hit it head on. It'll be fun.
Thanks, Rich. Why don't you come join me? Okay, so as we talked about this once before, antibacterial soap. You're a strange woman. Antibacterial soap. We talked about this once before, and people were saying if it's good or not. Literally,
they're
just
taking it off the shelves.
This moment,
yep.
I got the thing about it. So I'm going to read this little bitty article to people. I don't have time.
What, are they going to stop selling it now?
Yes.
Yes. Soaps and wash products containing certain antibacterial ingredients can no longer be sold. This was announced yesterday.
Is this in the city of Chicago? Or
no.
This is the FDA. This is the U.S.
Yeah.
There was insufficient evidence to prove that soaps and washes with these ingredients were more effective than plain soap and water. 19 antibacterial agents were called into question in this report. Companies are not allowed to market these claims about their products because they failed to demonstrate if these ingredients are safe for long-term daily use. All antibacterial soaps will be removed from shelves by September 6th of 2017. I don't know why it takes that long.
A year?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Huh.
The rule doesn't apply to three additional ingredients used in such products, benzolala, and chlorolala. Companies have been using these products to replace triclosan in their products. The triclosan is one of the things that is bad. Customers may think antibacterial washes are more effective at preventing the spread of germs, but we have no scientific evidence that they're any better than plain soap and water. In fact, some data suggests that antibacterial ingredients may do more harm than good over the long term.
Yes.
And this is a quote from Janet Woodcock, director of the FDA Center for Drug Evaluation and Research.
You okay there, B? That's like really good, solid information coming from our show, which normally doesn't happen. So that's B's like,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
I've been saying it for years that stuff's like such a rip. And then the other part is the ones that contained a bunch of alcohol, the kids would drink it.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Regina in Flossmoor. Hey, Regina, you're on Mighty House.
Oh, good morning, guys.
And good morning.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I couldn't call in when the young lady was on with the plant information, but maybe you guys can help me out. I stay in the Flossmoor area, and for years and years I've wanted to get in my garden, and so as I'm retiring, this is what I'm looking forward to do. But I have around my house a horrible clay-based dirt, and I was wondering if you all might have some info as to what I could do to make it more pliable or whatever, because I went to go put a little light strip, you know, the little day thing, you know, lights that you stick down. Mm-hmm. And I went to go stick it in the ground. And it's been a while since I've done anything like this in the front of my house. And I had to dig and hammer.
I usually do a drill and I pre-drill the holes.
Yeah, and I said, my goodness. So I'm wondering, is there anything I can do to change the consistency of the dirt by adding anything? Or
I asked Laura about that once, and I don't know that, you know, the digging out the clay, you almost need to go on top of it, I think. And maybe we can use that. We can do that next week. We'll talk about that with Laura. But I think her answer would be using raised beds.
Well, yeah, but you sort of can change the clay by, you know, adding stuff to the soil, you know, but basically it's not something that's going to get fixed overnight. You
right.
put organic materials on top, and that'll start to soak in. The other thing is, depending, even if the house is, I mean, a house could be 50 years old, but around the foundation, you're always going to have that problem because the backfill, when they build the house, they backfill with the spoils from, you know, digging the hole. Well, nobody sorts it. So typically it ends up being clay to the top. So
you know,
it'd be better if they could dig out a foot around the house and fill it with black dirt, but that's probably impractical.
Yeah, I often wondered, you know, in the building of my house. My house was built in 1979.
Oh,
and, Flossmoor has, it's in a floodplain, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the only house on the block that is up on a hill, like, you know. So whoever built the house, you know, I don't mean a real big hill, but it's enough that
right. You sit high enough.
That I was able to remove myself out of the floodplain level, you know. Right.
So you're the island everybody comes to.
Yes. Yes, there have been times early on that water was literally around my house.
Well, so you know what? They might have trucked in all the clay and spoils from all the other foundations and built yours up. So
I often thought about that.
So you might just want to talk to a landscaper maybe, and they could just bring in some additional soil and go over top of it and put a couple inches down. Just don't make sure that you don't stack it up higher than the top of your foundation, because then you can actually get groundwater and it'll start running into your foundation. So
Okay. Well, thanks, guys.
All right.
I always enjoy listening to you. I learn so much.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Doing a great job.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Checks in the mail, Regina.
Okay.
Thanks.
I'm looking forward now.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know what? Line 4 has an answer for Regina.
Oh, hang on, Regina. All right. Let's go to John in Tinley Park. That's it. Hey, John.
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
Good.
Hey, I just caught the phone thing about Regina and digging through hard clay and all that stuff.
Right.
And real rocky stuff that's like cement. The thing to do is water it first. Put a hose down, a little tiny hole, a hose or something, and just water it and let it get... And the water, and then you dig it out. Because I was digging in Springfield, Missouri, and they got real rocks and clay and junk. And I was going crazy. But one time it rained, and I was out there, and it just came up like pudding. It was a lot easier than, because otherwise you need a jackhammer on some of that junk. I know what Regina's going through, but she can try. You just wet it good, bingo, and work it a little bit, and it'll work, I think.
Excellent.
It's a good try.
All right, good. Thanks, John.
All right, bye.
Thanks. All right, bye. Hey, Rich.
Yes,
I just showed Robbie that tweet.
Did you?
Michael, you're in trouble, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
What did it say, Robbie?
I'm not
Should I read
say.
It?
No.
Robbie's yes. Robbie's mom was not in labor with her on Labor Day.
Right.
Because it wasn't enacted until 1894.
Yikes.
Yeah, exactly.
So, hey, just have a giggle.
I'm giggling on the inside.
No, that's okay. Yeah. B's still doing the math.
No, I think that's gas.
B's still doing the math. I can see her wheels turning. Like, what? Let's try Vince in Melrose Park. Hey, Vince, you're in Mighty House.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Listen, first of all, I'd like to say very merry happy birthday to Robbie.
Thank you.
And my birthday's Friday. And my children, my twins are born on Friday.
Oh, wow.
And my son's fiance is born on Friday.
Wow.
It's crazy. September 9 is the day, and my niece is going to get married on Friday. As far as the soil goes...
Well, that's good, because now you can just have one family party. Everybody's done. You don't have to go once a month. You're always going to another birthday party.
No, well, see, I don't have a birthday anymore. I'm not getting any older.
Oh, okay.
See, that was the whole
thing. Now I choose to think of it differently. I am getting older, but there's not a chance in hell I'm growing up.
Yes. You and me both, brother. You and me both. Listen, how could you say that woman's name and I can't say that part of the toilet? Well, you know, there was a lady named Wood.
No, Vince. No.
You know what? I giggled when I said that. I giggled.
No, Vince.
I cracked up when I said that woman's name.
It's a hose bib, and a ball valve, okay? You got that? You got that, Vince?
Yes, that woman's name cracks me up.
How would you like to have that name? My gosh. Anyway, I would use vermiculite in the soil and some peat moss.
Huh. Well, I don't know. We're going to get the official word from Laura next week.
Yeah. All right, I'll be listening. Happy birthday once again.
Thank you.
Thanks, Vince.
And Ron.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for you to come by and look at those Raptors.
Dude, if I only had the money.
You had the money.
No, I don't.
Part with it.
No, I don't.
Get your communion money, please.
Oh yeah. Okay, thanks.
All right, okay. Bye. Have a good day.
I would love to have a Raptor, but. The Ford Raptor is an awesome truck, but I can't work out of it. It's just a big overgrown sports car.
Did you ever catch the episode of Top Gear where they actually had that thing?
Mm-hmm.
And Jeremy was like, "It's so cool because they had this monster truck."
Yep.
And he's like, "Oh, apparently this is all for carrying the spare tire."
Yes.
Because it was mounted in the bed, so it was like, you know, uh-huh. I don't want to say useless, but it was just the way they portrayed it. Was
yes. No.
Hilarious.
Awesome truck. If I'm going to go run the Baja, you know, then I'll go pick one up. Let's try Robert in Chicago. Oh, wait. No, we're not. We've got 10 seconds left before the break here. So hang on, Robert. We'll see if Robbie wants to squeeze you in before
yes, we will.
Clutter Clarity. Okay.
And according to Ian, whose brother works at the EPA, antibiotics are a nuisance to the environment, are killing far more good bacteria than bad. It's literally like using an atom bomb on an anthill. No good. Welcome to American marketing, like putting cheese in individual wrappers. Ugh. Did I get that in 10 seconds? Well,
you know, we're coming up on a break.
Yep.
We just had something like that here. Everybody's all worried about Zika.
Mm-hmm.
And they just killed like a ton of
bees. Yep. By spraying for the...
Stupid.
Yep. All right, we'll be back right after this.
When we get back.
All right. You're listening to
Mighty House. This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return. This is Mighty House with Ron Cowgill. Answering all of your toughest questions about home repair. Get all your answers from the experts. This is Mighty House.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. All right, let's try. We got a bunch of stuff to get done. Go ahead, Rich. What were you talking about?
I was just going to say really quick, you know, so they were spraying chemicals.
Hey, wait. Turn off your... Got it?
Yep, you know, it only took 2 hours and 40 minutes for me to forget. I did it every other segment.
Yeah, you did good.
Anyway, so they were spraying chemicals to kill mosquitoes that carry Zika, and they ended up inadvertently killing millions and millions of bees from hundreds of hives.
Yes.
Which is serious considering, you know, like orange trees don't self-pollinate, blah, blah, blah. Do the math. You need the honeybees.
Mm-hmm.
They could have covered the hives, but they weren't aware that they were going to spray the area. So that's bad enough. So then last night on the news, watching a report from our local Collier County Mosquito Control, and they go on to say that the mosquitoes that carry Zika are not common mosquitoes. They are not the kind that actually lay eggs and larvae in standing water in creeks and ponds and things like that.
Yeah.
These are smaller mosquitoes that actually only breed in your plant pots and things like that around your house where you have standing water. Now, they have adapted to live with humans
mm-hmm.
because we leave them little trays of water and they like human blood.
Right.
So it made me start thinking that, okay, so first off, you're spraying for the wrong mosquito. You're doing, you know what I mean?
It's right.
Just like you just said, it's thrown atomic bomb at something, so it just drives me crazy. So it's just my 30-second commentary on stupidity and spraying from the air.
Rich's rant.
I like it.
Thanks.
All right, cool. Let's try Robert in Chicago real quick. Hey, Robert.
Yes, I was wondering if the stuff that they use on the farms to clean out their systems, if you could use the same stuff, you know, to clean out a city. You know, sewer lines with all the black gunk and stuff like that.
What's that? What are they using in the farms?
Well, like Ridex or whatever brand they use.
Well, like the Ridex and those are actually bacteria, and those are actually to promote the decay of solid waste in a septic tank. So that they can be carried off as nutrients. I mean, the tank only has to be pumped in every, I don't know, 5 to 10 years.
Right. So, and I think a lot of the, you know, they have those mixes that you can put in there that have the microbes in there that go in and eat that kind of stuff up. And you can put that in your pipes and for your vanities and your kitchen sink to help keep them clean. And it does make a difference. So that may be the same kind of thing. And you can get that at your local hardware store.
What is it called again?
It's, I don't know the actual name of them. I'll look that up and find out. But if you go and ask for it at the local hardware store, they'll have it. That's just it's got microbes in it and that just eat the stuff. It's just a powder. You mix it with warm water and throw it in there.
All right, then. Thanks a lot, then.
All right. Thanks, Robert.
Bye-bye.
And bye. Okay. Robbie?
Yes?
Are we ready?
Wait.
Wait
no
for
more
it.
Phone calls?
Wait for
okay.
it.
Okay.
Wait for it.
Here we go.
Wait for it. Do you have a disarrangement disorder? Can't seem to get that jumbled hodgepodge pile of chaos in one place? Maybe it's time for a little disposal, a little cleanup, a little eradication, evacuation, liquidation, and purgification. Here's Robbie with a tip on how to put some neatness into your disorder. This is Clutter Clarity on Mighty House.
Save me from this prison. Lord, help me get away. Cause only you can save me now from this misery. Getting weary. How far is heaven? And I know that I need to change my ways of living. How far is heaven? Lord, can you tell me?
All right. I posted on Facebook this week that I had some questions and was looking for a tax guy to answer some for me.
Uh-huh.
And I found a wonderful guy, Mark Zuba, and he has a company called Business to Business Solutions. It's a full-service bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service company. They actually specialize in working with small businesses, but they also work with individuals as well. They can do accounts receivable, payable, payroll, financial statements, income taxes, and more.
Okay.
So, he is not, what, you hold holding up your hand.
Are we like, done with the live read?
Shoot.
That's a very good memory. It's just short.
I know I had to get through a lot here. So
okay, go ahead.
Go do your live read.
No.
Please.
No, your live read that you just did for this accountant. That's what I was saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you know, I figure I just posted it out there and somebody responded. I might as well.
Give him a plug?
You know, tell people who this is.
Okay.
Okay. Mark Zuba. Okay.
Yeah? So, hey,
what?
Mark.
What?
Go ahead. Go.
Why is this bad?
It's not.
Oh, my gosh. Now I'm not going to get to the answers. Okay. So I have a lot of people who say, well, I have to save this for tax purposes. I have to save this. And they want to save every single piece of paper. So I sent some questions via email and I got some answers back. What is the process for an audit? Audits that he's been through with clients have been very straightforward. They're very informative. They're very unthreatening. The key to handling an audit properly is to be prepared. Have proper documentation. Have it well organized.
Get the shoebox out.
Make sure the auditor can follow what you are presenting them. If there is anything that could be unclear, point it out to the auditor. Don't just hand them a bunch of, again, the shoebox. The auditor will be more appreciative if you're working with them instead of going in there feeling very defensive. People want to save every receipt. What is really needed? Auditors will want to see receipts for business expenses taken on your tax year for that given year. They considered anything ordinary and necessary. And this gentleman in my responses, he says many, many times, ordinary and necessary. There may be some expenses that will be unique in nature based on a specific type of business may be considered ordinary and necessary. The more unique the business expensive, the more explanation may be found. 99% of his clients' businesses' expenses are pretty regular type and ones the IRS auditors expect to see. Is a personal income tax return and a business one different? The answer is no. The exact same information would be used for both audits. Okay, big question.
So I need to be saving all of my gas receipts and I need all that stuff, right?
Yes, yes.
That you want to throw away.
How long do I have to save those? Like 8 years?
That's what I'm getting to. Can I be audited after 7 years? With very few exceptions. Okay. This is what people get confused on. The IRS can audit your return from 3 years from the date of filing or from the date of your amended return. Since you are also given 3 years to amend a tax return, that gives you your 7 year period. That makes sense? So you don't really, an auditor can't really go back 7 years.
No, okay. It's three.
It's three.
Three from whenever you file.
1 year after the given year to prepare and file a return, 3 years for the IRS to possibly review your return, and 3 years if you were to amend one of the returns.
So if you didn't amend them, we can get rid of all that junk.
After 3 years.
Wow, I've got a lot of boxes to get rid of.
The big exception is if the IRS thinks fraud is an issue.
Well, if you don't have the boxes, how could they know? If you got rid of them after 3 years.
Do you... Normally, a typical fraud case revolves around unreported income. I always recommend my clients report 100% of the income, and we can look for all expenses that are available to them that are ordinary and necessary. So everybody's like, I have to say this for 7 years. I have to say, you don't. I mean, if you're committing fraud, sure.
Just don't commit fraud.
Save everything.
And then you're okay. Is that what you're saying?
Just saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Dinners. A lot of people want to expense every dinner they have. Not only would you need to save it, but this is a really, really good tip. They recommend to their clients, if it's a thermal receipt, as many restaurant receipts are today, those receipts fade over time. Oh, can I tell you how many junk drawers I've gone into and the receipts are all crumpled and you can't.
I know Big Orange is like that. If I have to save one for warranty purposes, I actually make a copy of the receipt and then get rid of the receipt because the receipt just fades.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or you just bring blank ribbon back to Big Orange and you know, it's your receipt. You figure it
right.
out.
Right. It is the taxpayer's responsibility to make sure that receipts are not only saved, but they are readable when it is time for them to review, if that time ever comes. So if you have one of those thermal receipts, and you guys know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
the gas receipts, all that stuff, 6 months,
right.
They're gone.
It fades away. So if you're saving anything, my goodness, make a copy of it. Utility bills. How far back do we need to save them? Utility bills are deducted as part of office in home expenses. So if you're not deducting, if you don't have a home office and you're not deducting expenses for that, then you don't need to save your utility bills. Even though I have people who say, well, I want to know what my gas bill was like two winters ago to compare it to this winter. Rich, are you giggling?
Yes, he is.
Well, you're doing your thing, and I'm just scrolling through Facebook. I'm sorry I did that out loud.
No, that's okay. No, people do that. They're like, well, I want to compare. You know how you can compare? You can go online and you can compare.
It's on your bill every month. It gives you the last 11 months.
Although people do want to see the last, you know, last January versus this January, something like that. But, yeah, you don't need to save that.
I keep utility bills for, like, 3 years, which is ridiculous. But I don't throw them away right away because if there's a conflict, you know, you don't find out till the next month or the month after. So I just hang on to them for a little while.
Well, why 3 years? That's a long time.
It's just sort of because it's a lot shorter than what I used to. We now rotate them. I, like, put them in envelopes. And then when I put one in, I take the oldest one out.
Okay, and then we were talking about special receipts if you are a renter, if you're a landlord. The same rules apply for receipt storage no matter what type of unit you occupy. Always remember that you were looking for ordinary and necessary. If you're in doubt, whether it's deductible,
throw it out.
Ask your tax professional and let them guide you.
When in doubt, throw it out, right?
Okay, what did I say about banks? Oh, we can't even get to what I say about banks.
Next week. How's that?
Oh, fine.
Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. The conversation continues all week long on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you're looking for our show sponsors, just go to MightyHouse.net, click on the Mighty House team page. You'll find all the great companies right there to help you out. Next week, we're going to be talking with Mark Klein. He's going to be giving away free tools.
What?
Free tools?
Free tools. That's it. Klein Tools, free next week when you listen up. Oh, and Robbie's not going to be here. She's going to be at Muckfest, so stop out there if you're in Lake County. Go see her out there.
Woohoo!
And we'll have another Mighty House tip of the week. Mighty House Greenhouse and Clutter Clarity. And in between that, we'll be taking your phone calls. Thanks to everybody, Kim and Wes and
Bill.
Yes. From Devon Bank.
Yes.
For Rich Cowgill and Robbie Earhart, I'm Ron Cowgill. Keep it square and level.
Until
next Saturday.
Saturday.